Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 990. This is your host, Danny, and joining me on this episode and also every other episode is Paris. Happy New Year, everyone. Paris, Happy New Year, man. What's up, man?
Happy New Year. Good morning to everyone. We're in the dark future now. We are officially in 2020. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's insane, man. How was your vacation, man? I know we took a couple weeks off and, got some time to just relax and do one other thing. How was your vacation, man?
Yeah, holidays were good. Vacation were good. Went hung out with my in-laws up in the mountains. Got to see snow. All the cousins got to get together. Gaming-wise, I played some more Hellblade. Played a lot of Witcher 3. And I've made a declaration to myself for the first quarter of 2020. Games that I plan to play and try and complete before April 16th, 2020. So it's been good.
Now, out of all those games that you listed, I know you posted on Twitter. Make sure to follow Paris Vicious696 on Twitter. Out of all those games that you posted, which one do you most likely you will finish first?
I'll finish Hellblade first because I'm halfway through Hellblade now. Matter of fact, I'll have that knocked out by next week when I come back from CES. And then after that, I'm going to pick up Disco Elysium. Disco Elysium. I'm gonna pick that up and I'm gonna play that, and it sounds like that one's gonna take me a while, and then my priority after that one's going to be The Outer Worlds. And I don't realistically think I'll finish everything I put on the list, but Hellblade, Disco Elysium, Outer Wilds, and then I'm gonna try and jump into Sekiro. Which, again, I'm not going to finish all this by Cyberpunk. I know that, but that's my priority.
Okay. Well, I already finished The Witcher 3, the whole thing. Now, right now, I'm just focusing on the side quests. That's all I'm doing right now. So every day, I've just been like going to different areas, trying to find out new quests and so on. So, but the expansion, the main campaign, completed. Now, I have between 115 hours now, and that's just with not much with the side quests, so the only thing that I'm pretty bad, Paris, is the whole Gwent missions, man. I'm just terrible. I tried, computer always destroys me.
Well, so as far as Gwent goes, I mean, there's some tutorials, you could, videos and things you can see online to kind of get a feel for it, but it's more of just, you just got to keep playing it to get better at it. And the Gwent inside Witcher 3 is different than Gwent, the standalone game now. They've completely just forked that off into something else. It's a lot different and more complex. I will say that if you try to be the Gwent Grand Champion in The Witcher 3, the game cheats. And the only way to do it, and I haven't done it actually, but people online tell me, is basically you just have to keep saving. And if you lose, just go back and keep just redoing it over and over till you win. And I don't have the patience to do that. So I'll never be the Gwent Grand Champion. But it's a fun little side thing. It was that happy accident that happened in The Witcher 3, and now it's its own thing, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. You can listen to our past episodes, which a lot of you guys have been doing that a lot. So thank you for that. Also, you can send us, voice messages, email, feedback, and this is how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
We have a couple stuff that we're going to be talking about here. And the first one, very interesting news here, man. I think this is great news, in my opinion, but I just want to hear also what Paris has to say about this. So Respawn Entertainment's Vince Sempella is going to be taking over DICE LA. This news just came out like a week ago or so. EA is planning to make some changes over there. But at the same time, he's also going to be still in charge of Respawn. And I think this is a great move because, Respawn has been on the roll, man. Everything has been great. All the games have been positive. Great reviews since the studio launched. Paris, what do you think about this move? Because we were talking about this and you had a lot of things to say about this, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a very great move by EA to put Vince in charge of what will now be formerly DICE LA. You know, you and I, we've been to that studio many times over the years.
Yes.
When you realistically look at the landscape of EA right now, their two most popular games are Respawn games, Apex Legends and Jedi Fallen Order. So as the kids would say, Vince has the clout right now, right? To be able to make this move and to take over DICE LA, rebrand it and shape it into something else. I mean, it's already said in the article and everything, Vince is still going to be the head of Respawn. They're still doing everything they're doing, but he's just expanding his responsibilities and basically resurrecting the studio so that they can take on a new challenge, a new IP or whatever it's going to be. If my memory serves me correct, the last game that DICE LA did as a studio was Medal of Honor, the Medal of Honor reboot. And God, that was at the start or right before the start of this current gen. So that had to have been in that 2011, 2013 range. I don't have the actual number in front of me. But since then, they've been more of a support studio for the Battlefield franchise. And now they get to resurrect it. Like I said, they're going to rebrand it, give it a new name. It'll be interesting to see what they do and what they change that studio into. I honestly have no guess on what it's going to be. Are they going to continue to be a shooter studio, first person shooter studio? Are they going to branch it off, do something else, create new IPs? What? No idea. But look, Vince has earned the benefit of the doubt right now that if he's going to take over this studio and they're going to change into something else, I'm excited to see what that's going to be. And I would guess we're probably not going to see anything from them until probably midway through the next generation would be my guess. So probably, I don't know, maybe not midway, but maybe 2022 at the earliest, 2023, something like that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And honestly, man, like, you know, if you go back to our archives, the old episodes, and you listen to our roundtable, every time there's an EA press conference at E3, we will say like, this is the best press conference at E3, better than Sony, better than Xbox, yeah, better than everybody else. And when was the last time we had that conversation like that, Paris? It's been years.
Yeah, it's been years. It's been years.
Yeah, and I think the downfall, this is the beginning. I remember that everything was just going downhill, was the year that we went to their press conference, and it was the year that they gave us free donuts.
The donuts, yeah. The donuts.
That was the one. And that was for Bad Company. Oh, my God. Was it Bad Company?
No, and now I'm blanking on name. It was a Battlefield game, but it wasn't Bad Company. We should have that research in front of us. I apologize. Yeah, but it was that Battlefield offshoot game that didn't do well. And then what turned out to be the concepts for Anthem and then Mass Effect Andromeda. Those were like the three big games that they had at the donut reveal of that EA. So was that 2014? I think that was 2014.
Like it was around then.
I believe Hardline. Hardline. Battlefield Hardline.
There you go. Yeah, and that was the one where they show a lot of the concepts games like coming on the food chart, and then they were like, all right, play the demo, Hardline, go, and they opened the area for us to play, and we got to play for a little bit, and then we left, and we're like, man, I don't know, that was just a weird press conference.
It was because they just didn't have anything. They just didn't have anything ready to show. And unfortunately, as this generation has played out, that just kind of became a common theme with them. They obviously got the Star Wars license during this current gen. And then they pushed out Battlefront and then got Battlefront 2. And then obviously now Jedi Fallen Order. We've seen what Mass Effect Andromeda has become. We've seen what Anthem has become. We've seen... I keep want to say Dragon Quest. What was it called?
Dragon Age.
See, this is the first episode of 2020. I can't think of nothing.
Yeah, yeah. This is how we start. Yeah. We're getting older, you know.
But Dragon Age, obviously. And then, you know, we had Battlefield 4. Obviously, we got Battlefield 5, you know. And we were talking about this offline. Remember It was almost a year ago now. Firestorm, their battle royale that was inside Battlefield Crickets.
Oh my God!
You hear nothing about that.
Why is that? Why do you think?
Well, again, I'm, you know, just full disclosure. I'm EA Game Changer. I'm actually EA Game Changer for Battlefield, just so people know. So I do see some things, you know, that are NDA, but just my opinion outside looking in. This is just the overall thing. If you look at Battlefield. I mean, they've really botched Battlefield 5. They really have. The concepts of what Battlefield 5 should be, you know, by releasing the war stories, thing like that, we're going to get new content. Obviously, you know, Firestorm, there should just be this ongoing thing in the multiplayer verse for Battlefield right now. And of course, that community is still there. Don't get me wrong, but it is not as popular as it was, I would say, during its peak of Battlefield 3. No freaking way. And that's what Battlefield 5 should be right now. I know there was a recent update that came out that just didn't go over well with the community. A lot of people in that community are upset. Dude, I really hope because there's not going to be a Battlefield that launches with PlayStation 5 and Series X. So Battlefield 5, what we have right now, is it for the foreseeable future, right? So I truly hope that whatever DICE is working on, they can kind of, you know, course correct and get the ship right, because that was... That was 2018, November 2018, that Battlefield 5 launched. And here we are a little over a year later, and that community still hasn't stabilized yet. So wishing them the best, obviously. I mean, just graphically, the game is absolutely gorgeous. There are some very fun things to do in Battlefield, but it's not exactly where it should be right now.
Yeah. And the vibe that I also got, like when Respawn started working in these games for EA, I feel like they were like the new kids on the block, so they were just there, and EA was just focusing more on the marketing, BioWare, and like all those well-known studios, right? But I felt like Respawn really had to like prove themselves that, yo, they're a dope studio, you know? Like, you know, they had Titanfall 1 and 2, which I feel like it needed more marketing, right? It didn't went well, especially with the second one. And honestly, it's one of the best first-person shooters, campaign-wise, out there, the past this generation, in my opinion. So that, and then I think it was just last year, man, the release of Apex Legends and also Star Wars. That's when like EA was like, wow, you know, this is a studio that has been nonstop making great games. We need help, man. I think it's great to have Vince to take over the studio here locally, especially in LA, DICE. You know, so. Hopefully it goes well for them, man, in the future, because I think they definitely need that, man. They have a lot of great franchises that came out in the past that they could easily work on those titles and bring them back. You know, Dead Space, there's what was the other ones too, Paris? I'm trying to remember the other ones, man, that was really popular back then. We used to go to their community day events back
on the wall. I mean, the EA Sports they have a lot. Franchises, EA obviously. Sports. Obviously, Madden is still a thing. FIFA is still a thing. But back in the day, you had Tiger Woods. Golf used to be big. NCAA football, obviously, used to be very big for them. The baseball game that they used to have, and I want to call it Triple Play, but that doesn't sound right. But or MVP baseball? What the hell is that called? Anyways, yeah, EA has a great legacy, obviously, over the past few decades of titles. But this current gen, I mean, yeah, it's not been the best for them. And Respawn has been the standout studio, you know, that they've had, critical sales-wise or not. Because like you mentioned, Titanfall 2, if you have not played it, is absolutely the best first-person shooter campaign this generation, hands down. Nothing comes close to it, in my opinion. It was that good. The multiplayer on there is underrated. The games obviously just didn't sell, which, by the way, rumors, Vince Ampella is part of the reason of that, because he was very adamant to release Titanfall 2 when he did, when you put it right up against what at the time that was probably. Battlefield. What Battlefield was that? That was some Battlefield game. Oh, Battlefield, the World War One one. Battlefield 1 and... obviously Call of Duty. Why did you put that out there? That made no sense. They were competing against themselves. But anyways, going back to your original point, EA could be doing a lot better this generation. Obviously, going into the next gen, they've kind of realized some of their missteps, and putting someone like Vince Ampella in head of one of their studios that has been stagnant, you know, this past decade makes a lot of sense. So hopefully they get rebooted, be it bringing an old franchise back, or my preference, introducing a new IP you know, and pushing that forward, I think that would be ideal for them.
Yeah, definitely, man. And hopefully we'll see more, you know, Timefall, some maybe some major changes with Apex Legends soon in the future, man. We'll see, yep. Man. It's amazing how that one studio made two of the best games of the year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Insane, man. Shout out to them, man. Yeah, shout out to them. All right, so Paris, I'm a huge fan of Nintendo Switch. I know you are too. But there's a rumor, and this shout out to Emily, our friend Emily Rogers. She's always posting stuff on Twitter. I don't know if you follow her. Make sure to go. She always posts rumors about Nintendo Switch. So reportedly, there's two games from the Wii U era that is going to be ported to the Switch, and it's coming out sometime this year. Any predictions which games you would like to see that came out from the Wii U days that I think has potential to sell a lot if it comes out for the Switch?
You're asking me what I think from the Wii U days?
Well, Wii U days.
Well, here's the thing. I just didn't play a lot of Wii U games, so I can't give an educated opinion on this other than to say I think bringing back some of the Super Mario Brothers games from that came on the Wii U. I'm blanking on the names. Again, first episode of 2020, folks. Or was it, did Pikmin 3? Pikmin 3 was a Wii U game,
Pikmin
right?
3, yep. Yo, yeah, yeah. One of the best games for the Wii U. That game is really good. It slept on big time, especially during the last gen. It wasn't that popular, you know, Wii U. But yeah, that game could be a huge hit for them if it comes out for the Switch. And also, this game is also one of my favorite games that came out that year. I put in my game of the year. Mario World, the 3D world, that definitely will be a huge game if it comes out for the Switch.
Oh, great. And just overall, just with these rumors, it just makes sense that the games that were coming out on the Wii U, that they just port them up to the Switch, because there were a lot of quality titles on the Wii U. And just like I mentioned just a second ago, people like myself, we just simply didn't play them. I mean, you know, my kids still have their Wii U and it's still plugged in, and they'll jump on and play like Smash or something like that. But it's like, yeah, bring those games forward to the Switch, man. Obviously, there are way more Nintendo Switches out there than there ever were Wii U's. And why let those games just sit on a basically a dead platform when they're still viable right now, and, you know, let people experience them?
Yeah, and not only that, Paris, like, investment-wise, Nintendo doesn't have to put much money to port those games, man. You know, that's like free money to them, actually, you know, so that's huge. Can't wait for that, man. Now, another news that popped up yesterday, I was like, what? Xbox Game Pass is getting better and better, man. So now the new game that just came out for Xbox Game Pass for the service is Grand Theft Auto 5, Paris. I know it was available also on PlayStation Now for a while, but this is the first time that's going to be part of the service for Xbox, man. I think this is huge.
Okay,
huge.
I have to pause you for a second, Danny.
Yeah.
I can't talk about Xbox because I hate Xbox and I'm completely negative against Xbox and I just don't like anything that they do. And I should be interviewing the head of PlayStation. I just want to say that. Shout out to people who follow me on Twitter. You know what I mean? But all seriousness, no, this is great. When I saw Game Pass said that about Grand Theft Auto, I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This is why, I mean, we're still in early days of this service, but as it matures and goes into the next generation of games, we already know we're guaranteed to get all of Microsoft's first party stuff, right? As they continue to build up their studios. But to be able to bring in a legacy third party game like Grand Theft Auto 5, you know, the game just keeps going on. I mean, it will not die. It's like a cockroach. It just will not die. It will not go away. So to be able to now get that a part of Game Pass, if you've not experienced Grand Theft Auto 5, here's your chance. And it has a thriving online community right now. Forget the base game. It's all about Grand Theft Auto Online. So you're getting that as a part of Game Pass right now. I just think that that's fantastic. That's what I'm talking about when I look at this service and I look at the potential of it. You know, you're going to see more and more third-party companies look at that subscription service and say, hey, you know, our game had a great initial run. Sales have slowed down. Put it on Game Pass. It's going to instantly give it a second light. Like right now, and again, Microsoft bought the studio, but like right now, I'm playing Hellblade because of Game Pass. Why not? You know, it just makes sense. So it's great, man. And we're going to see more and more stuff come to the service on both the console and PC.
Yeah. And I was reading, you know, the reaction from a lot of people. You know, everybody was excited. The majority were excited about the game being a Game Pass. But a lot of the other people were saying like, no, but already the majority of people already have the game. I disagree because I know a lot of like gamers that, you know, they buy games here and there. They don't have Grand Theft Auto 5 at all. So most of them subscribe to the service because I've been telling them, like, look, for you, they're a parent. You don't have to buy games all the time. This is perfect for you. So they just subscribe to the service just a couple weeks ago for the first time. And now that they're going to find out that Grand Theft Auto 5 is available there and they don't have the game, this is like perfect, man. There's a whole new crowd that never played this game during last gen and this gen. So this is a completely big, huge agree. Move, I think, man.
Completely
this
agree.
Is really cool.
Yeah. Now, can I tangent this conversation to some? I know it's not on our topic list, but it's obviously relevant because this was happening over the holidays. So, you know, the amazing Digital Foundry kind of did the legwork, and there's been other leaks and everything. But I'm dipping my toe into console talk just so people know. So first and foremost, let me say this. I'll be at CES this week. I know there's the Sony press conference that's happening on Monday, and people are speculating, oh my God, they're going to reveal PlayStation 5. I don't think so, personally. I don't think Sony is going to share the stage at CES to announce this. I think Sony does their own thing in February, personally. Just my two cents on that. But hey, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I see the PlayStation 5 this week at CES. I don't know. But going into this console talk. So Digital Foundry kind of did the legwork, and it basically some AMD and AMD leaks kind of corroborated this. But it sounds like Series X, which Microsoft has already confirmed, is going to be, quote unquote, 12 teraflops, right? But the PlayStation 5 is going to be 9 teraflops. And I know people are losing their mind going, oh my God, PlayStation 5 is not going to be the most powerful. And oh, what does this mean? And all this stuff. Let me just say, for the record, to kick off 2020, and I know people got mad at me on Twitter for saying this, power does not matter. Is it great? Yes, it is great to be powerful and you get all the teraflops and frames and all that great stuff. But I'm here to tell you right now, if the games look the same, does it matter if the power is different? Exactly. No, it does not. I'm going to tell you what matters. Good games and price. We just went through this 7 years ago. Right.
Yep.
So if you think that changes going into 2020, I'm just going to be real. As much as I think Microsoft is doing the right thing and adding all these studios and doing all this stuff, if that Series X is $600, I'm just pretend if it's $600 and the PlayStation 5 is $500 and they both have great games, guess what parents are going to go pick up? They're going to go pick up the cheaper one. That's how this works. That's just how, as a parent, I'm telling you right now, that's how that works. So you can argue till you're blue in the face that I need 4K and 120 frames and all this stuff. None of that freaking matters. And you have the perfect test case right now that proves everything we're saying. It's called the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Do you think anybody cares that the Nintendo Switch isn't doing 4K or high frames and all that stuff? No, they're just playing the Switch because there's some kick-ass games on it. And that is going to carry Nintendo into the next generation. I promise you that Nintendo is not panicking with whatever their plans are for the Switch just because of PlayStation 5 and the Series X is coming out. It is about quality of games at an affordable price. And we can argue till we're blue in the face about, well, there's Lockhart and it's cheaper and this and that. Doesn't matter. If PlayStation 5 is cheaper than that Series X and PlayStation 5 has games that people want to play, people are going to go pick up the PlayStation 5. So again, I'm just saying to kick off 2020, Microsoft would be absolutely insane to have that Series X a penny higher than whatever the PlayStation 5 is going to be. I don't care what Lockhart is, does, or price, but your high-end system better match whatever the PlayStation 5 is. Just my opinion, because it's about games. It's about games and price. That's it. You can argue teraflops all day. Doesn't matter.
Do you remember, right, Paris, the early days, everybody, oh, it's not 1080. You know, I'm like, and I was, yo, we were always having this conversation. It doesn't matter. Power doesn't matter. What matters is the games, man. I have more hours on The Witcher 3 or the Switch, way more than the Xbox One version. Why? Because I'm always traveling, I'm always taking with me, I'm always playing it at home, and I'm having a blast. I find the game, like, it plays very well. Like, I don't even don't care about the 4K. Like, that doesn't matter to me, man, at all.
It does.
What matters is the game. You have the right games, that's it. It's all about software, man. You know, like, there's games that looks beautiful, but it's boring as hell sometimes. It just looks good. There's a lot of games like that. And yeah, you're going to find those games that has everything. The whole package, music is great. Voice acting is great. Graphics is great. You know, but at the end of the day, it's all about the games, man. I could care less which system has more power than the other. I really don't care about that stuff, man. You know, I feel like this is just a waste of like of a debate. Let's focus on oh, let's talk about the studio. Because look, Sony has great first party exclusives more than Xbox for this generation. It's 100% like fact. I think that Sony went through a bad time when the PlayStation 3 launched, right? But then at the end, they came back, started releasing The Last of Us and all these great games during the end of PlayStation 3 era, right? They learned from those mistakes. And PlayStation 4 has been like nonstop releasing games, right? Yeah, is it perfect? There was a couple that was okay, but the majority of the games that they're releasing during that time has been like top-notch titles, man. You know, so I think that it's good that Xbox is going through this stuff. They went through that stuff during the last gen, but you know, Phil Spencer took over, and there's been a lot of major changes for the company, and I see the potential of Xbox Series. The Xbox Series X being a great system, man, with a lot of great games, man. And plus, think about the X Cloud and all these other software services and all this stuff that's coming out for the system. It's going to be a great gen, man. But no, honestly,
it absolutely is. Absolutely.
Honestly,
is.
I've been playing more Nintendo Switch in 2019 more than PlayStation 4 and more than Xbox One.
And again, that's the point I'm just trying to make. Do I want 4K, 60 frames, SSDs, super fast load times, all ultra settings? Do I want to see all this amazing stuff? Absolutely, I do. And to be honest, I think both of them will. And that's the point I'm trying to make. All teraflops is marketing checkbox. That's all it is. It is just use something to market. At the end of the day, what consumers care about is being affordable and giving me compelling games to play. And I truly think both of them will have this in the next generation. Absolutely do. Like we've said many times, like you just said, Microsoft has set themselves up to be highly competitive next generation versus what they were in this current generation, because they quite honestly didn't have compelling exclusive games this generation. They just did not. But we are seeing that they're setting it up that they will in the next generation. Mm-hmm. Of course, Microsoft wants to have the clout of saying they have the most powerful console. But at the same time, they need to be able to say that and also say it costs the same as their competitor. Because if I could play The Last of Us 2 and Horizon Zero Dawn and Spider-Man and God of War and all that, and it's $100 cheaper, that's the way I'm going to go. And that's just the reality of it, because we saw this play out 7 years ago. You know, it wasn't about power. And one thing I was, and I'll shut up about this. Just go back into history archives. Look at the history. It was never about power. It was all about games. It's always been about the games. If you don't have fun games to play, why am I buying your system? Period.
Exactly. And I'm going to take it back, Paris. And we had this conversation privately. This is so funny. But we're going to take it back during the days of like Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis era, right? During that time, all these major companies were saying like, oh, our system have this and that, just as like a marketing thing. So I think it was a Sega Genesis. It was a blast processing, something like that, right? Marketing. So you know which one reminded me of that? With Xbox One, when they were promoting a lot, like the power of the cloud. It was not just thing as that. That was all marketing. BS.
Yep.
It was.
100%.
It was. Yeah. So, yeah, man, guys, just don't waste your time. Let's talk about games. Let's talk about us having a great time, man. Yeah.
So, one last thing, and then let's move on to the next topic. Shout out to our brother, Hip Hop Gamer. I got to give him some love on this. So, shout out to Hip Hop Gamer. We love him to death. He has a video out. You can find it out there on the internet, but he is basically saying he has a source that PlayStation 5 will be fully backwards compatible all the way to the PlayStation 1. And I want to say for the record, I agree with him. I do think this happens. Absolutely, I think this happens. I think he is 100% spot on when he says this. Now, where I got to give him a little hard time is, he also says it's going to be called the remastering engine. No, it's not. There's no way.
Yo, let's be real. Come on.
Yeah, there's
Come
no
on.
Way. That look, maybe it's code name remastering engine, but there's no way they're gonna market it that way. No way. No way they're gonna call it that.
That's ridiculous.
Shout out to him, because hey, he's going on record, he's putting his name on it, and he's saying that this is happening. And I do think ultimately he will be proven right. I do think this happens. I think Mark Cerny and all those smart guys over there, whatever wizardry that they're doing behind the scenes to get the cell processor for the PlayStation 3 to work with the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 and emulation and have it all working on PlayStation 5, I do think that happens. And I think that is a direct result of what Microsoft has been doing with on Xbox by making it fully backwards compatible, because that is now a selling point for Series X that is going to be backwards compatible to the very beginning. Like if you own the disc from the, you know, the original Halo, you pop it in, it works. That makes sense to me. So I do think PlayStation absolutely needs to have that as well going into next gen. So again, welcome to 2020. Welcome to the dark future. Let the console wars begin. But that's stupid because console wars don't matter. Just play whatever you want.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so the next topic. Wow, we just talked about console war already in 2020, man. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Metro Redux, man. This game, you played this game, right, Paris, when it came out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So there's a possibly leaked that this game is coming out for the Nintendo Switch. And this was through the European rating board. It popped up online and somebody found it. I'm not surprised that this game's coming out for the Switch at all. Are you surprised or not?
No, like this honestly goes back to the point we were just making. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, the Switch is a huge and viable platform. If I'm 4A, was it 4A Games? Is that their name? 4A Games? Anyway, but if I'm that studio, I want my game everywhere I possibly can. So, of course, it goes on there. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. It was fun. I didn't ever complete the whole game, but it was fun when I played it on Xbox One. I think it was available not through Game Pass. It was like if you're part of Xbox Live Gold, you get those free games. That's how I got it. So, yeah, cool, man. Really, really cool. So, yeah, that's it for now for news. But we're going to do our first fan mail segment for 2020. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So this is only going to be emails only because I have a lot of voice messages. I'm going to say that for the next episode. So let's see. Let me look for an email here.
I got one because I want to read the one right off the top. And this person will stay anonymous, but because they asked us to be. But this person says, first off, thank you guys so much for all you do. I really appreciate the way you guys handle transgender topics. It's nice not to hear negativity. I'm female to male and have a lot more respect for you guys after hearing you speak that way about the trans community. I do have a question, though. Sorry if you guys talked about it in a previous episode. And if so, would you make any changes? Wait, maybe I said that wrong. Okay, just get to the point. He goes, here she goes. If you guys were in a video game, what would it be like? And again, thanks again. Happy New Year. So thank you, anonymous person. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you know, we've many times, dude, it doesn't matter. Be who you want to be. I mean, that's all it really comes down to. Be happy and proud of who you are. Don't let just this toxic, negative online cesspool that is social media affect who you are. Be happy and proud of who you are. And if we've helped in any way on that, hey, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I mean, we're just being ourselves when it really comes to that. I mean, you know, yep. Now to answer your question, if you guys were in a video game, what would it be like?
Yeah.
Look, we're in a dark future. If I could be in a video game, I'm going to be in Night City. That's where I would be. I would probably just be a vendor somewhere for the Voodoo Boys or something, right? That's where I would be. I'd be in Night City. Yeah. But
well, for me, I'm excited for the release of Phantasy Star Online 2 that's coming out sometime early this year. I know the beta's coming out, which I've been talking to Sega. I'm excited. We're probably going to have some stuff in the future, but we'll see. But I think I think I'm going to be part of a Fantasy Star Online, man. I'm a huge fan of the game since back in the days. I never played 2. So I'll probably will be in there with my brother because we always talk about that game. So that will be cool. I'll be a hunter in the game. There you go. All right. So I have another email here. This is from Mark. He was like, "Hey guys, I wanted to ask a question about Watch Dogs Legion. Do you guys think Ubisoft have changed network bypass hack mechanic? And I quote, data flow puzzle. I hope they made a mechanic that feels more like hacking. What do you guys think?" Paris, you played Watch Dogs during E3, right?
Wow. So you read a question and instead of answering it, you just pass it to me. Okay.
No, because I never played Watch Dogs. the only people that got to play Watch Dogs is you and Pete, and there's no way for me to answer this question. You know, that's why I'm like,
well here's the thing. Honestly, it's impossible to answer this question because Watch Dogs has been delayed. I personally think we don't see Watch Dogs Legion until 2021 because they are completely overhauling the mechanics of that game and the way it works. So to be honest with you, I simply don't know. I know when I played it, I liked the hacking mechanic that was in there. When I played the demo at E3, it was a lot of fun. I would imagine it stays pretty similar to that, but it is very clear whatever Watch Dogs Legion was going to be is going to be very different by the time we see it again. Here's my guess. I do think Watch Dogs Legion makes an appearance at E3 on a limited basis, and I think they announce it's coming in 2021. And we don't see it again until 2021. That's my guess.
That's a great prediction because, yeah, I just don't see that game coming out this year at all. I just don't see it. And it's this all because of the release of Ghost Recon, the last Ghost Recon game.
Yes. Well, right? They admitted there was a lot of similarities in some of the things that they were doing with Ghost Recon. And they realized, obviously, due to community feedback, that ain't the way. So instead of forcing this game out and people are being upset, delay it. Because, again, I'd rather a game get delayed and you get it right than to rush it out and it's broken. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So this is another email. This is from Omar. Hey, Gamertag Radio crew. This is Omar from Dallas. Shout out to everybody over there in Dallas, Texas.
Yo. Dallas. I know somebody named Dallas.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. So really enjoy the podcast. I have a question. With Xbox revealing Hellblade 2 and Hellblade 1 was a first a PlayStation exclusive, will Sony now be releasing Sunset Overdrive 2 exclusively for a PlayStation? Since they now own Insomniac Games, that would be the ultimate petty move. And also talked about like the trailers and everything. But anyways, let me ask you this question, man. Shout out to Omar. Thank you for the question, man. Omar, look, I'm a huge Sunset Overdrive fanatic. Like, I love the game. I've been praising that game for years. Not much with Paris and Pete, but I've always been there since doing with that game. I really doubt that game is coming out for the next PlayStation system, man. I just don't see it. I think that if there's like a huge request from the community that's everywhere, maybe. But I think Insomniac could work on the next Spider-Man 2. I can see that first than a Sunset Overdrive. You know, so do you agree, Paris, or you disagree?
Do I even need to say what I think? You know what I think. No.
That's not going to?
No.
Okay.
No, that game was not... didn't warrant a sequel just due to sales. I mean, look, and I know it is a cult classic at this point. It was the foundation that ultimately became Spider-Man. So let's give it its props, you know, as far as that goes. But do I think we'll see a Sunset Overdrive 2 on PlayStation? No, I don't think so. I mean, again, Insomniac's priorities is going to be a Spider-Man sequel. They're probably going to bring back Ratchet and Clank, which Miss Leo, I think it launches with the PlayStation 5. Just putting that out there. But yeah, they have other IPs that are more viable right now that they work on well before we'd ever see a Sunset Overdrive 2.
Mm-hmm. All right, Paris, do you have any other emails you would like to read? Or
here's a good one. This will be a good talking point. So
okay,
this is my game of the decade, and I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Gokan. So kind of like Gohan, I guess, from Dragon Ball Z, but Gokan. And looks like he's from Australia. But he says, "Hi, Danny and Paris." Spell my name right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that because apparently I get annoyed when people spell my name wrong. my game of the decade has to be The Last of Us. Played it for the first time on the PlayStation 4 Pro and hooked me from start to finish. All the best, guys. Looking forward to episode 1000. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So, Game of the Decade, because I guess we didn't really talk about that when we talked about Game of the Year on a previous episode. Mm-hmm. So, I can absolutely see that he thinks Last of Us is Game of the Decade. I'm sure it is for a lot of people. I'll just say, for me personally, and shocker, right? Mine is The Witcher 3. It just is. I mean, that absolutely was the best game that I played this decade that I'm still playing right now, which is insane. But yeah, absolutely. CD Projekt Red knocked it out of the park. It just redefined the open world RPG genre for me. It raised the bar, my expectations on games that have come after it. And like we know, obviously Cyberpunk 2077 is coming here in 100 days. We're almost in double digits for that game. It's crazy.
Can't wait.
But my expectations for that game are super high. And it's because of The Witcher 3 that I know what CD Projekt Red was able to do with that game. And then obviously with the expansions, you know, Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine. But yeah, my expectations for Cyberpunk 2077 are off the chain high. And it's all because of The Witcher 3, which, again, I think is my game of the decade. But what about you? What was your game of the decade?
Well, of course, we always mention, you know, The Witcher. I talk about that all the time. So I'm going to pick another game that I think is up there with me, too. BioShock Infinite. I think that's the game that completely changed the game when it comes to, like, story-wise. Like, I think BioShock came really, really strong, the first one. But something about BioShock Infinite, it reminded me a lot of, like, during that time, there was a lot of conversation about religion, Scientology, and all that stuff. Like, I felt like they put a lot of those things in the game as a shooter. It was really, really well made, man. And actually, that's the game that actually brought Paris back into podcasting, you know? So I was listening to our review that came out during that time. It was, like, in 2013. And even Paris at that time was saying something like, yeah, this is the best game of this generation and stuff. So, yeah, BioShock Infinite is an amazing game. I can't wait for what the new studio is working on, the next BioShock. I think this is an important game, man, for the last generation, man. You know, so, and it still feels like next gen. If you go right now and play this game, it feels next gen. And this came out during last generation, man. You know, so.
You know what's interesting about that? It's still in my top five for sure this decade. But you know what's interesting about that game?
About what?
If I never played the DLCs, I might almost agree with you. But in a weird way, the DLCs watered down that experience for me. I did not like what they did ultimately with Elizabeth in the DLCs, and that was a disappointment for me. And obviously we know the turmoil that happened mm-hmm. with that studio and Ken Levine leaving and all that. So I just felt like we got a half-hearted effort ultimately, mm-hmm. you know, with the DLCs. But yeah, I mean, at that time in 2013, absolutely. I mean, that story and just the twist and everything that happened in there was fantastic. Phenomenal. I like the ambition that they tried to do, you know, with Skylines and all that stuff. So I mean, it's for sure. It's still in my top five games this decade. It's definitely one of the most impactful games for me this decade. Absolutely. I would just say off the top of my head, and I'm not going to run down the list, but mm-hmm. Mass Effect 2 has to be up there for me as well, along with Skyrim. You know, it just says impactful games of the decade. And then just, again, personal bias, Destiny, obviously. I mean,
I was going to say that.
I would say that is going to be there just for the co-op experience and just what it was able to bring to the table. And hell, I'm still playing that to this day too. So there you go.
Yeah. Was it Borderlands came out?
Borderlands 2. Borderlands 1. Was Borderlands 1 this decade? Was that?
Let me double check. I'm checking right now because I think that was a very important game too, man. Give me one second here. Borderlands series. Okay. So the first game, it was by a year. So, all right. Okay, well, Borderlands series, so part two, I think it's a very important game, man. You know, that was like the first loot shooter before Destiny and all the other game, you know, Warframe and all that. So but I think it's a very important game, I think. Not the greatest of this generation or this decade or anything like that, but it's a very important game, I think. So
agreed.
Will you put Halo up there? Any of the Halo games?
Not in this decade.
Was it Reach? Halo Reach was in this decade.
Reach was this decade? I thought it was 2009. It was this decade?
Oh, wait.
But I'm still not going to put it up there as one of my games of the decade. I would not say that.
It was 2010.
It was 2010. So yeah, it was this decade. Yeah. I mean it was good. Obviously, I'm happy to see the remake come back and all that. I had a lot of fun. I think it was the best Halo campaign as far as structure and everything that they did. My favorite campaign, I know we're tangenting off, is still Halo 3 for me personally. But yeah, I mean, look, not to tangent away from that too much, and I keep preaching this and until it becomes a reality, I guess, but we're in 2020. Halo Infinite is coming out at the end of this year. To me, that is the most important game Microsoft has ever put out.
I agree.
I just think for what that, obviously Halo Combat Evolved was the most important IP for the original Xbox. The original Xbox would not have made it without Halo CE. Mm-hmm. I think the same goes right now for the future of Xbox and where they're headed. And obviously the franchise that is Halo. If Halo Infinite flops for whatever reason, Halo, for all intents and purposes, is a dead IP. And I know that's harsh to say that, and I can already feel the emails being typed as I say that, but it's true. Because, yes, it could probably still have a life multiplayer-wise as an esport, things like that, but for the impact, the event, the must console selling, system selling IP that is Halo would be no more if Infinite doesn't hit the way that it should be. I think it will, personally. I have confidence that Microsoft is very aware of this. 343 is putting all their resources and effort into making this an amazing experience. I have confidence in that. But for what Xbox is trying to do going into the next gen, to have a system selling IP, to push their subscription service that is Game Pass, it has to be Halo. Halo has to be that game. It has to be. What else is there? I mean, realistically, I'll ask you the question. If Halo flopped, what other IP that we know of that Microsoft owns could take the place of it?
I mean, there's a lot of great games first party, but
I'm talking, it has to be a system selling generational type game. Yeah,
the only thing, because look, Gears is not going to be up there for that. Fable is not going to be up there for that. It has to be maybe a new IP from these studios, man. That's it. Like, that's about it, man. I just don't see. Forza is not it either. You know, those are great games, but not the level of Halo at all.
No, they're not at all. And that's my point.
Halo is like Mario for Nintendo. That's how it is. Speaking of that, Paris. This is a game that I'm very, very surprised you didn't even mention it. That came out of the past decade. Super Mario Galaxy 2. You was always praising that game back in the days.
That was this decade?
2010.
Oh, and you know what? No. And a little something on that. I don't agree. I think okay. Galaxy 2 is inferior to the original. The original is better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I've always thought that. It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. It's fun. But the original Galaxy is better, in my opinion. And that was 2007. You know, I guess you go into Nintendo and Mario. Odyssey brought the franchise back for me, personally. I love what Odyssey was. I will say, looking back a little bit, because I was playing it again a couple months ago, I wish it was a little more difficult. That would probably be my critique of what Odyssey was. I almost felt like Nintendo played it a little safe with Odyssey. They wanted more people, obviously, to be able to play it. I wish there was a little more of a difficulty to it, a more challenge. Look, Mario Maker 2 obviously has cured that, because my God, some of those levels are just ridiculous. But I do wish Audio had just a tad more difficulty to it. I think that would have just made it just a perfect gem. But to your original question, yeah, I think Galaxy is far superior to Galaxy 2.
Okay. I could have sworn. I thought you liked both Galaxy
1. Oh, I do. And that's what I mean. Let me be clear. I love both. But I think it comes to the difficulty factor. I think Galaxy was more difficult than Galaxy 2. I think Galaxy 2 was a little easy.
Yeah, I think Odyssey, yeah, it was kind of, I want to say super easy. It was, you know, it was there. But after you finish a game and you're trying to collect those moons, that's when the game gets really, really difficult, though, Paris. So just laying it out there.
I know what you're saying. I think it should have been harder, though. But they want everyone to play Mario. It's Mario. Again, Mario's the friend. They want kids, everyone playing it. So I think that's kind of why.
Yeah. I think there's games for that, and there's games for everybody, man. You know, like for that crowd. You know?
Yeah.
So, anything else, Paris?
I think that's it.
That's it? Okay. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to episode 990. We only have 10 episodes now. But 990. Yeah, 10 episodes left. And then our 1,000 episode comes out, man, sometime in February, early February. So we're still working on that. We'll see what happens. If not, we'll think of something to release during that time, you know. But just send us your feedback and questions, fan mail questions to the show. And here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, anything else before
we wrap it up? Yeah, I guess I'll just say before we get out of here, obviously, first episode of 2020, thank you for everyone that has been supporting us over the years. Really appreciate that. I would say for me, the first quarter of 2020, don't expect me to be playing any new games. Maybe I might slip in a little bit of Ori, but I'm really going to try and focus on my back catalog. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm going to finish Hellblade here. I'm going to jump into Disco. I want to check out Sekiro. I want to play The Outer Wilds. I mean, because really, I want to knock out as many of these older games as I possibly can before Cyberpunk. I'm just warning everybody right now, when Cyberpunk gets here, don't know if we're going to have any preview coverage. I have no idea what CD Projekt Red's plans are going to be, if we're going to be invited to any of that stuff. But that's going to be, I'm going to be making a lot of content around that game in 2020. I'm just telling you right now. Obviously, we're talking about here on the podcast. I'm going to be streaming it. I'm going to have stuff on a YouTube channel, all that. I really want to build some stuff around that game. And it's just for me personally. I mean, obviously, Danny and Gamertag Radio, you know, we will continue to do this and all that. But for me, on a personal passion project, that will definitely be something that I want to work on. Like I already mentioned, I'll be at CES this week. I will just, full disclosure again, I was invited by NVIDIA. So I want to thank NVIDIA for inviting me out to CES. There's some stuff they want to show me. I have some appointments to see a few other things. I'll be talking about that on the episode next week. But we got a couple other things cooking in the oven, you know, early on in 2020 that we can't talk about yet.
Yep.
But it's going to be a good start to 2020. I'm excited. I'm going to be building. We're officially in 2020, so I'm officially on PC Build Watch. I've been looking at some components. Anyone that follows me on Twitter, you know, you can kind of follow along with what my thought process is right now. I'm probably going to start building it here in the next month. Let's put it by this. I'll definitely, by the end of February, beginning of March, have built my new PC. I want to have it built a month out before Cyberpunk at a minimum. But I'm starting to look at that kind of stuff. So it's exciting, man. Just exciting. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm looking into more video equipment, you know, better cameras, things like that. You know, obviously E3 is going to be big for us, so I want to be prepared and ready for that. So it's going to be exciting 2020. So I've talked enough. So Danny,
anything else? Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. No, and I have a couple things lined up for early this year, which once I get the word, I can start talking about it and we'll see what happens. I definitely want to get the community involved with this too, man. So we'll see. We'll keep you posted. So that's about it from my part. Thank you, Paris. Happy New Year to everybody once again. Thank you for listening to our first episode of 2020. Stay tuned. We have more content coming up. And a couple of things that we're working on too, man. I'm excited for that. And that's about it, man. Until next time, thank you for listening. Take care. See you next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.